Welcome to Talking About Organizations, a podcast on organization and management studies, graciously supported by our listeners, the Management Learning Journal, and the European Group for Organization Studies. This is a supplement to episode 88, where we discuss the classic paper, A Case Study in the Functioning of Social Systems as a Defense Against Anxiety, a report on a study of the nursing service of a general hospital, by Isabel Menzies-Lith, and published in the journal Human Relations in 1960. This is another foundational work related to the Tavistock Institute that contributed to our understanding of work, organization, and management. Menzies-Lith and her team were called upon to examine organizational issues at a teaching hospital in London. The issue was staffing, precisely the conflicting demand between the need to staff the hospital according to work demands and the need to offer opportunities for nursing students to perform work commensurate with the curriculum. In other words, for nurses to learn all the technical skills for their training, the hospital needs to provide cases where this could be practiced. But that was not happening. This misalignment between the teaching needs and demands for personnel were presumed by administrators to be among the reasons that students were quitting the program in high numbers. Yet this issue was actually a symptom of some broader organizational dysfunctions. It was not a mismatch of tasks so much as a mismatch of expectations that was driving nursing students to quit. Nursing students entered into their training, and thus the teaching hospital, to follow a calling to care for human beings. Yet the hospital discouraged that same sense of calling. As professionals, where the risks of failure are great, such as the loss of life, the potential for high anxiety is particularly intense for nurses. For example, a nurse who becomes too attached to a patient or the patient's situation risks strong negative emotions should that patient pass away or the condition significantly worsen. Thus, within the hospital emerged a series of odd procedures that served to prevent or preclude such close ties from occurring. For example, continuous rotations of duties and patients served by a particular nurse, lack of clarity in decision-making, and constant last-minute changes. Nurses were also encouraged to limit their emotional contact or commitment to patients, their families, or other nurses. It was this realization that drove many of the good nursing students out. So what Isabel Menzies-Lith discovered in the course of examining these protective mechanisms was that they were clearly not designed to confront anxiety, but rather to avoid it. They were therefore coping mechanisms that actually produced new forms of anxiety and contributed to a student's desire to leave. Now, anxiety is a fascinating topic. It is often perceived negatively and treated as something that can be mitigated and hopefully eliminated, but it is an ever-present part of organizational life. While one's levels of anxiety may ebb and flow over time, the sources of anxiety simply change. In bad times, anxiety can come from one's own professional mistakes and subsequent facing of the consequences. It can also come from the organization itself under existential threat or pressures, such as when a company is at risk of folding or facing a downsizing. These sources of anxiety are certainly easy to understand. But good times produce their own sources of anxiety too. Competition, the dynamics and changes in the environment. These can lead to fears of lacking control or autonomy. So coping with anxiety involved a mix of tools, some at the individual level and some at the collective level. One hopes that these are helpful mechanisms, enabling one's abilities to cope and continue to serve in the organization effectively. But they become dysfunctional when they become ends in of themselves, such as demonstrated in Isabel's case study. Understanding how we keep them from becoming dysfunctional and when they transition from being helpful to something else is exactly what understanding organizations is all about. And that's all for now. We invite you to listen to the episode available in two parts on our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com or through your favorite podcast streaming service. We also thank the Management Learning Journal and the European Group for Organizational Studies for their generous support, along with the support of our wonderful listeners. Thank you for listening and have a great day.